Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Tuesday, January 25th. Welcome to Menace in the Morning. I am Zach Smith with my co-host, Chris Drew. We were just laughing off air because my man, Chris, had himself a weekend. And I was sitting on our couch with my girlfriend on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And just sitting there watching Yellowstone, trying to finish that so we can move on to Ozark. And I get a notification. Chris Drew is going live. I'm like, oh, sweet. Let's see what kind of content he's putting out there today. I click the button, and he comes up live. My man is, I'm talking like camping trip drunk. Like, you know that type of drunk where you're like out in the middle of nowhere, you're not even possible to drive because you're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Just like way past, you can't even see straight. Chris is on there talking wild. Chris, I don't want any, don't even say anything because we're going to talk about it tomorrow, but we're laughing about it. So I had to preview it to make sure we get a maximum audience for tomorrow's show.
Oh man.
But anyway, not
my
on,
finest
Chris.
Moment. Yeah,
like I said, we're not going to discuss it today. I want to steal this from Roy Hall to start the show because he put it on Twitter. Roy Hall is one of my favorite people I've been around. Obviously a former Buckeye, now he runs the Driven Foundation. Just an awesome person. But you talk about a speaker. This man will have you like wow every time he does chapel for Ohio State. And kind of an interesting note, I don't know if people know this, but so Ohio State has team chaplains, right, which come in and do church, essentially spiritual services. I don't know, it's non-denominational. It is about Jesus and it's about God and it's certainly Christian. And it's you can obviously opt out of it if you're not don't believe in Christian things or whatever. But anyways, they have like a handful of former players that do church services, and Roy Hall is one of the mainstays, and he's excellent. I mean, unbelievable. But anyways, he tweeted this morning. He said, on average, 156,000 people die every day. Don't you get it? You being here today is a gift. It's a blessing. Be thankful for what's going right in your life, starting with the fact that you have a life. And I was like, wow, that hits the nail on the head right there. No matter how shitty things are, no matter how many bad things are going on, 156,000 people that woke up yesterday did not wake up today. So be thankful for the positives, right? Focus on the positives. I know, trust me, I've been there. I know negatives can really overshadow or consume you, but there's positives in every life. There's positives in every day, and you got to focus on them. Absolutely. So I just wanted to start with that because it hit me this morning. I was like, oh man, I needed that one today. Not that anything negative is going on, but it's just always a good reminder. I do want to talk about this. I just saw this on Twitter. Usually I start the show with like my Twitter rants. Like before the show, I always wake up, get my coffee, and just browse Twitter. Lawrence Tynes, never heard of him. Doesn't mean he isn't some big time guy. Just never heard of him. Apparently he was a kicker that kicked
for the Giants. Yeah, he's a kicker for the Giants.
Yeah, kicker for the Giants. Okay. Well, it must have been when I was coaching football because I didn't get to watch the NFL. I don't know. But Lawrence Tynes was a kicker for the Giants. And Joe Burrow in Sporting News said, it gets way louder in the SEC than any of these NFL stadiums. Talking about NFL crowd noise. And Lawrence Tynes says, to be fair, Joe has never played at Arrowhead. Having said that, he is in for a rude awakening. There is no place louder in sports, and it's not up for debate. Well, Mr. Tynes, with all due respect, this is up for debate. Because I've been to Arrowhead. I've been to, I think, 11 of the 14 SEC stadiums. You're right. It's not up for debate. So I don't know what the fuck you're tweeting about. Because there is not, it's not even close. Not even remotely close. You want to talk about the swamp in its prime, LSU at night, Alabama. Arrowhead is like fucking church compared to an SEC stadium in a night game. I don't know what, I don't know this. I mean, now I did a little research. I Googled him. The guy fucking kicked at Troy. He's from Scotland. Like, what the fuck is this guy to talk, tell anyone about an SEC stadium? He's been in none. I mean, he might, I don't know when, I didn't look up when he was at Troy. They might've been like the cupcake game for the Auburn Tigers one time at noon. And that's what he's relating it to. And we should look up his fucking career. Did he ever even kick in Arrowhead? That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, he kicked for the Chiefs. He had two different stints there. I think he got cut both times.
So he played for the Chiefs. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So he's a Chiefs fan. That's what we're getting at. He's trying to be a Chiefs fan and get Chiefs fans to suck his dick. Got it.
It's funny because he actually had zero success with the Chiefs. Like all of his, you know, his entire career that was anything notable happened with the New York Giants.
Well, he had like a 5-year career, right? He got cut initially. He got sent to Europe or Canada or something, mm-hmm. and then ended up coming back. He made 2 field goals for the Giants, then got shipped to the Chiefs. Is basically what I read. I'm sure that's not his career to a T, but it's just I don't know. I guess a guy plays at Troy and from Scotland, like no fucking idea what he's talking about. But so that's our dumbass sports media personality of the week. I've been to. Let's see, 4-5 NFL stadiums, and Arrowhead was one of them. And I've never heard, still to this day, never heard anything like LSU at night. Not even fucking close. Not even like, Penn State in a night whiteout is the only thing comparable that I've ever heard. Not the horseshoe at night. I've never been to Alabama at night. I've been to Alabama in a big game. Auburn was really loud. When I think about it, and I think I've done a list of top 10 stadiums, but neither here nor there. That's an idiotic take. There is Joe Burrow is 100% right. It gets way louder in the SEC, more so than any of these NFL stadiums. That's just a fact. So I just wanted to start with that, Chris, get my Twitter rants out of the way.
No, you're good. And Josh Pate has a cool video up on his Twitter of kind of like being field level at an LSU game and like feeling the noise. Like, and it's a really cool video. And it doesn't even, fully capture what it's like to be there, I'm sure. Yeah, but it is a really chilling video. Yeah.
Other than being there in person.
So cool. one dumbass sports media person to the next one. We didn't need to address this at some point, Zach. RJ Young has projected he predicted the playoff for next year. He has the 4 playoff teams being Alabama, Georgia, Texas A&M, and Ohio State. That's 3 SEC teams, Zach. What in the fuck?
It's funny how sports media personalities work. And I promise you, no matter how long I do this, it could be one more day, it could be 30 years. I have no idea. But I promise you, no matter what happens, I don't care who pays me money, I will never get on my knees and suck the dick that is the SEC. It will never happen because RJ Young went from being a YouTuber, a content creator that was making his own way, paving his own path. And when money came calling, he put on lipstick and knee pads, got on his knees, and took that monster penis deep down his throat. That's what he did. He deep-throated the SEC. I mean, this is just absurd. This guy is you talk about a menace. He's not even a good menace. We're a good menace. This guy is, I mean, it's just unbelievable how one man can go from relatively good takes to bizarrely, horrifically awful takes. You couldn't have worse takes. I don't think there's anyone in sports media with worse takes than RJ Young. This guy is an absolute moron. Never mind the fact that he's painful to listen to. I don't care if he's doing a cooking show and teaching me how to make flapjacks. He is just so annoying. I can't listen to him. But Alabama, Georgia, Texas A&M, and Ohio State. You mean to tell me there's going to be 3 SEC teams in the playoffs? We really think that's going to happen. It's just, I understand why. Here's what it is. Texas A&M just signed the number one class in the country, right? They are pushing towards becoming that a power in the SEC, rivaling Alabama. So this guy does not have the nuts. He does not have the testicles hanging below himself to pick one of the 3 or 2 of the 3, right? He doesn't want to pick Alabama because he's like, I don't know. Texas A&M just signed a number one class. So it could be them, but I can't not pick Alabama. I don't know what to do. That's what it is. He doesn't have the nuts to say, no, let's say A&M, Georgia, OSU, and whoever the fuck you want to pick, USC, like whoever the 4th one is that you want to pick. He doesn't have the balls to do it. So that's all it is. He doesn't have the nuts.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been bad. RJ Young kind of this decline since he was doing his own thing, his own YouTube path to now. Zach, I honestly can't remember the last time he had a good take. Kind of since he, you know, joined the network, the gag reflex went away and it's just been all bad takes. And this was kind of up there with the very horrendous takes. And it's interesting because, I mean, you just had to pick one and then go a different direction. Like there's no way that, you know, an undefeated Big 12 team doesn't make it. There's no way that it just doesn't make sense for all three of these teams to make it. Plus Ohio State. I do think that A&M does make the playoff next year. They had a huge hire kind of over the weekend that went largely under the radar. Someone that you're pretty familiar with as well. Steve Adazio was hired as their offensive line coach. Talk about the pickup, Zach. That's a huge, huge, to me at least, huge deal.
Well, I've said it from day one. Steve Adazio was the best offensive line coach I ever worked with. And Justin Fry, I'm not even here to say Justin Fry's not better now. Obviously, he's had a lot of development since I got out of coaching, but you know, Justin Fry is a 1B for me. The difference being, I think Steve Adazio would be tough because of the ego he has after being a head coach. And it's not even saying a negative, but I guess what goes to show you someone's thoughts is Ryan Day could have had either, right? Steve Adazio was fired, out of work, and Ryan Day chose to pursue Justin Fry. And so that tells you Ryan Day's opinion. He wanted Justin Fry. And the only reason why, I mean, Ryan worked for Steve and knows Steve very well. He knows he's an unbelievable football coach, unbelievable offensive line coach. They get along greatly, but there's just some ego there that it would be hard to check, I'd say, especially for Ryan. Now, this is probably a better situation for Steve because he doesn't know Jimbo. At least he doesn't know him all that well. But end of the day, A&M is just showing you they are in this to win it. I mean, they are making hire after hire. I mean, buying recruit after recruit. And it's they are, I'm telling you, Jimbo's
balls to the wall, man.
He wants to be the next Alabama. And there's no denying that they are going to put the backing behind it, the paper, the bag, as they say.
Yeah, no, I mean, they have the number one, you know, recruiting class ever. Their staff additions left and right. I mean, they are balls to the wall. You know, how expensive is a championship? And if it's about money, they're going to get there. They did have the Harold Perkins kid that's a five-star linebacker decommit, and someone said, it looks like that first check has bounced. But other than that, I mean, they've been spending money like crazy and adding Steve. I mean, one thing that Urban Meyer was talking about was you have to have the best staff if you want to have the best program. And that kind of fits the mold of staff. I mean, you talked about, you know, the best offensive line coaches you've been around and him being one of them. And now back to the SEC. Me and you talked about, I like A&M to be a playoff team next year. I think they finally get there.
Yeah, I'm not ready to make that prediction because I really want to see who leaves, where transfers end up, and evaluate rosters. But I think that they're making the right moves, and they will be in the playoffs here in the next year or two. Might be this year, might be next year. I mean, I'm not ready to make that prediction, but they're making the right moves. That's for damn sure. It's funny off the heels of this A&M stuff because Ohio State kind of made news yesterday, and even the coaching staff, Brian Hartline, I saw, and other coaches were like, pounding their chest because they're trying to fight the narrative, right? The narrative right now is A&M and these Southern schools are, you know, spending this money, and the Schottenstein Cardale Jones thing hasn't taken off yet, and Ohio State's getting just eaten alive. But that's the narrative, right? Which it is true. It is true. Just so we're clear, I don't care what any coach retweets. I don't care about the fucking NIL edge development part of Ohio State. And I'm going to get into why in a minute, but they reported, what was the report, Chris? I don't have it in front of me. What did they
The report that Ohio State, 220 of its athletes had earned a combined $2.98 million through 608 reported NIL deals. All three figures ranked number one nationally, you know, according to Open Doors. That was in a news release. But go ahead. I mean, I don't know, Zach. Like, $2.9 million for, you know.
So we'll call it $3 million, right? $2.98 million. $3 million. Mm-hmm. For 608 athletes, right?
Correct. Or yeah, no, for 220 athletes through 608 reported NIL deals.
So 220 athletes for $3 million, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do this math real quick. Divided by, you said 220. So that means that over the 219 athletes not named Quinn Ewers, they made an average $7,300. $7,300. That was the average salary of the 219 players not named Quinn Ewers. Quinn Ewers made $1.4 million on an autograph deal. That's just reported from the autograph deal. Now, if you plus the kombucha deal, I mean, he might have made all $3 million. I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard of a lot of money. I know there was some for sure, but I haven't heard of a lot of money going to Ohio State players other than Quinn Ewers. I've heard of cars being lent out. I've seen some sponsored posts and some minor deals, but I haven't seen a major deal. I mean, shit, even CJ Stroud, I never saw a major deal. So Quinn Ewers made one. The tweet should have read, Ohio State has highest paid player to never take a snap. That's what it should have read.
Well, he took two snaps, but, you know.
Okay, he took two snaps. You know what I mean. Never played a meaningful snap. How about that? So, you know how they have the commercials, this bud's for you? Mm-hmm. Ohio State University, this cap is for you. Please put it on. That's nothing to brag about. You had a high school kid that made a shit ton of money come in, and that put you at number one. But, I mean, that is what you're watching is recruiting. That's what it is. That's what you do, right? You find an angle and sell the shit out of it. Drive it. Quinn Ewers would have made that money anywhere, by the way. Anyways.
And not to mention, I think the SEC schools just probably – there's no requirement to report these NIL deals.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm going to get to now. Like that, Ohio State might always lead in the opendoors.com polls because Ohio State is 100% over-regulating NIL. They've created the NIL edge, which is just an Ohio State group to monitor and control NIL money. Now, before I go off on this, right, I want you to understand, this is the right thing to do. This is the proper way to do it, right? What they're doing, the oversight, the control, the committee to make sure that their athletes aren't being taken advantage of, to make sure that they know about everything going on so nothing crazy happens. It is 100% the responsible and right thing to do. The problem is they're going to get fucking eaten alive by the SEC for doing it this way. The SEC is not. They are just wild, wild westing. I mean, millions of dollars, changing hands, going to recruits, doing all this shit because it's all legal. It doesn't say anywhere the school needs to know about it. It just says a kid can profit off his image and likeness. This has been my issue from the NCAA from day one, is they didn't regulate it. They didn't put any stipulations in. And now Ohio State's trying to create their model for what they believe should be how it's run. And that's well and great, man. That's awesome. I love it. Like, it doesn't matter, though. It doesn't matter. You're going to get fucking killed. It's like teaching your kid to, like, eat his peas and carrots and walk away from an argument and don't get upset and don't ever hit someone, and then sending him to a street fight in the kindergarten and everyone's punching everyone. And guess what? Your kid's getting fucked up. He's going to get his ass kicked because you never taught him how to throw a punch. At some point, you need to teach your kid how to punch and then teach him when not to, right? And that's the problem. Ohio State is petting their football program and like, this is the way to do it, buddy. This is the right way. In about 5 years, they're going to send him on the field and he's going to get his ass kicked behind a school, behind a dumpster, because this is not the way everyone else is doing it. This is creating an unfair fight. You're tying Ryan Day's hand, one of his hands behind his back, because now Doug Archie's in control of NIL. Fuck me. Shoot me in the head. I'm out. No way. Am I having any part of the Doug Archie NIL fund? So Schottenstein and Cardale better get it moving, and I hope they have a nice meeting with the NIL Edge group.
Yeah. The NIL Edge group does feel like definitely an Archie kind of baby, and it's gonna get in the way of things. And the bigger issue here is, as well, is, like you said, one of Ryan Day's hands is tied behind his back, but the expectation and the pressure is still to win a national title every single year. And when you're going up against, you know, those SEC schools, when you get there, it's like, oh, brother, it's like, you know, asking somebody hit a baseball the furthest and, you know, it's okay to juice. It's not right. Let's say it's legal to juice. They can juice over there. But up here, we're like, no, we're just going to, you know, get it the good, honest way. We're going to lift our honest weights and do all that kind of thing. But the expectation is still to win. So it is tough. It's going to be something that is really I'm keeping an eye on. But the fact of the matter is that number being reported, the three million is alarming, because I'm sure that Texas, their football team alone, is doing more than that. I'm sure that, you know, Alabama, their football team alone, is doing more than that. I'm sure all these schools that are in the playoffs, they're doing more than that. I do want to talk about one other thing, kind of around NIL and transfer stuff. The Burton kid, the wide receiver from Georgia, transferred from Georgia to Bama after just beating Bama in the championship, obviously. Mecole Hardman had some thoughts to say about that. It does feel almost like Kevin Durant-y. It's a little crazy, but what are your thoughts on the Burton kid going from UGA to Bama?
It's the new age of college football. It's wild. I mean, it's definitely wild. How many times have you heard of that? But Mecole Hardman needs to fucking calm down, because this kid was about to become a late draft pick, just like Mecole was. He had the opportunity to go from Stetson Bennett to Bryce Young. What the hell are we talking about? The kid had shitty stats for the national champions because they couldn't throw the ball. Stetson Bennett can't throw. They ran the ball, and don't get me wrong, I would too. The three backs they had were unbelievable, but they never threw him the ball. What do you want him to do? The kid wants to be great. He wants to be an All-American. He wants to win a Biletnikoff like any other great receiver, right? And now with the transfer portal, you've given these great players an avenue to go seek their dreams. You don't want him to leave? Bring in a better quarterback and throw him the goddamn ball. It's not that difficult, right? Make him happy too. Or don't. Or, I mean, what does Georgia care? They didn't use Jermaine Burton this past year. What were they going to use him next year? They'll be fine without him. But this kid made a decision for his future to go play with one of the top two quarterbacks in the country. I mean, I got no problem with it, because that's how college football is now. Now, this is, you get to the team and bigger picture and historically. I mean, that's fucked up. Kid left a national championship program to go to the team they beat for the national championship. I mean, this is so twisted. It'd be like us beating Alabama in 2014 and Zeke saying, "I'm going to Alabama now." It's like, what? What do you mean? We just battled. Like, what? It's just a bizarre era of college football. But hey, the rules is the rules, as they say. So I love it. I think it's where college football is headed.
I think Stetson Bennett is going to be remembered among Georgia fans, similarly to how Ohio State fans viewed JT Barrett. Loved, but his limitations have been called out, you know, obviously frequently. And obviously we had guys leave because they didn't want to be a part of an offense with JT throwing on the ball. And I think that's going to be that same kind of thing around Stetson Bennett. Of course, Stetson Bennett won a national title as a starting quarterback at Georgia. But to me, it feels like he's so obviously limited, and him coming back and JT Daniels leaving is the reason Burton's leaving, and the reason that Pickens, after, you know, not really registering many stats, is leaping to the NFL. Well,
Stetson, a lot like, I mean, you look at JT Barrett, and it's a good comparison. We'll see how they feel about Stetson Bennett next year. Mm-hmm. When that defense is gone, his top two receivers are gone. We'll see how they feel about Stetson Bennett when he, the quarterback, actually has to go win you a game. How will they feel then? They will be calling for Kirby Smart's head a year after a national championship for letting JT Daniels walk out the door. That's what they'll be doing, because that's how crazy fan bases are. That's what it is. I mean, that's why he left, and I can't say I disagree with it.
I mean, Stetson Bennett announced he was coming back, and George Pickens, who was highly regarded coming out, who recorded, I believe, 5 receptions for 100 yards this year, declared for the NFL draft. Like the kid didn't even play this year. He saw Stetson Bennett was coming back. He said, "I'm out. But he wanted to try transfer, and I'm out." And then the number two receiver, Burton, who then would have become the number one because Pickens is leaving, it transfers as well. So it's going to be him and the tight end. And that defense isn't going to be as good. And, yeah, it's going to be up to him to win a game. And this feels like a situation where Kirby Smart botched it again, like with Jake Fromm and you know, Eason was there as well. And then, obviously, Justin Fields. This feels like a similar situation. I've never seen one school in a short period of time have so many 5-star kids walk for non-5-star kids. And the quarterback room, and I don't think they're going to repeat. I don't think they're good enough to. And I think part of the problem is going to be their quarterback play next year. You're right. I mean, have that kid go win a game or two, and there's going to be Georgia fans calling for some heads, most definitely.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt.
I do want to talk on one other thing, quarterback wise. Actually, you know what? I want to ask you this. Clemson had a down year, and kind of I was looking through the roster, kind of, you know, they had lost a big portion of their coaching staff. Is next year a make it or break it year for them? Is this a Clemson team that is on the quote unquote hot seat? And could you, I mean, for me personally, I see them sliding back into kind of a Penn State tier school with the way things are going if they don't get it right this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the reality. I think that Dabo has entirely fucked it all up. He didn't evolve with the times. He didn't evolve with the transfer portal and everything that's gone on in college football the last 5 years. He just put his head in the sand, or he was like the kid that got his ball stolen. He's like, no, I don't want to play. I'm not playing anymore. Like, and it's bit him in the ass. He's lost a bunch of great coaches. He has not hired a bunch of great coaches in their spot. I think the Brandon Streeter promotion was a complete fucking failure. And he hasn't even coordinated a game yet. So I guess that's premature, but I don't like it at all. I don't think the guy's a good coach. He wasn't a good quarterback coach. What makes you think he's going to be good at calling fucking plays? I think this year, I mean, the only thing they have going for him is the ACC is complete dog shit. I mean, they got Mario Cristobal to deal with now at Miami. I think Florida State will be improved. But other than that, they do have to go to Notre Dame this year. But kind of a spinoff conversation, Chris. How about Marcus Freeman in year one has to fucking play Ohio State and Clemson? thank God for him. Clemson stinks now. You imagine if that was 2019 and first time head coach takes over at Notre Dame, looks at the schedule, and he's like, excuse me, athletic director, are you fucking kidding me? I got to play Ohio State and Clemson in the regular season? Like, what? Just
yeah,
crazy.
They
getting back to your point, it depends on what you mean. Hot seat, like Dabo's not getting fired if they don't.
Just mean like hot seat of like college football, like the elites. Like right now, that tier one elite, I think they're getting ready to slip out of if they don't have a good season this year, and they could fall back into that tier two.
When was the last time that Alabama or Ohio State or even Georgia had two back to back bad years? And by bad years, I mean like over two losses. What did Clemson have last year?
They had three losses right on the edge of the top 25.
Let's say over two losses. When was the last time Ohio State or Alabama did that in two consecutive years?
Yeah.
That's the question, because that's when you start flirting with sliding back down the hill, right? It's so hard to get to the top of the mountain. I mean, it's like you're pushing that boulder up the hill nonstop. I mean, for grinding your face off until you finally get it up there. If you get it up there, most people don't get it up there. Once you get it up there, and then if you don't hold the rock up there at all times and you kind of take your eyes off it, you start to slide back down. You know how much harder it is to get back up the hill if you've already been up there and you slide down? Because then people are like, Clemson, that's like, you know, the middle hot girl in middle school that turned ugly. Like, you know what I mean? It's not the girl. Think about it. Like, if you're a recruit, it's just like dating, right? Mm-hmm. What's more attractive? The senior year in high school, the girl that's she's probably a 7, but she was considered a 10 in middle school, so she's got the name recognition, right? Or the girl that no one really paid attention to in middle school that got titties when she was a sophomore, turned into a smoke show, and now she's a 10. Which one's better? Right, because the sophomore with titties that grew up into a smoke show, that's Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. The girl that peaked in eighth grade, that's Clemson. Right, so which one are recruits gonna want? The girl that was cool to date in middle school, or the smoke show that all of a sudden became hot? And so this is absolutely make or break year for the program's trajectory. If they want to stay at the top, it absolutely is, because you can't have two years of 3-4 losses and expect to be there in the mix. Now, the only side caveat to that is if they got their slush fund through the church in town, New Spring Church that doesn't need used anymore. Anybody can come back from anything if the dollar amount is right. So maybe they're just going to save up all their money for 3 years from now just to sign every 5-star. Like every single one.
All of them. All 32. Yeah. It's interesting because also they had a down year, 3 losses. And additionally, on a down year, they lost their best coaches, which usually those two things don't happen. Usually, like when you have a super successful year, then that's when those coaches get a chance to go move on. But obviously, we know Brent Venables going back to Oklahoma. And that was the best part of their team was their defense. And that was the best Clemson assistant. So it's going to be interesting. And then I do want to, you know, speaking of 5-stars, Devin Brown becomes the number one player in the country per On Three's rankings that just came out. I have a theory on this, but I just want to congratulate the kid at first for being the number one player in the country. There is a significant discrepancy, though, in terms of that service and the where the other services have him ranked. And I think it's because he – now, I'll ask you about this. Do you see this happening where because someone's, you know, committed to a certain school or signed to a certain school, they get a significant jump in the rankings?
Yes. Yeah, I've seen it a bunch. I think a lot of it is – more you have a bunch of guys that are not I don't know how to put this without they're not the best football evaluators, talent evaluators, you know, in comparison to actual coaches. But they're getting better and really good. I mean, there's some guys that are excellent at it, but you know, you still can't replace a guy that knows the game as well as a college, as a football coach, whether pro, college, whatever. So I think that's part of it. And then when a school offers or takes kid, like when Ryan Day takes a quarterback, if I'm whoever from On Three or 247, I'm going to say, huh, interesting. Let me go back and rewatch him because Ryan must love him and I just liked him, right? And then they go back and start evaluating him. Now they have a little biased lens on. And so, yeah, I've definitely seen it happen. And I've talked about a couple examples. Cam Newton's the best one. He came into Friday Night Lights as a 3-star, left as a 5-star. Never before has it happened in college football history in one weekend. And then Austin Mack was one that, you know, obviously he got in the Army game because Urban and I pushed politic to get him in. Then he killed it down there. Don't get me wrong. So he jumped in ratings. So I've seen it happen a bunch. And you wonder a couple things. One, Shannon Terry is the one who, think about it now, this guy started Rivals, sold it to Yahoo for a fucking bazillion
bunch
dollars.
Of money.
Started 247 Sports to be a direct rival, sold it for another bazillion dollars. And now he started this On Three, and I'm looking at it like, wow, this is going to be better than 247. He's just three times in a row beating the shit out of the competition, and it's not even been close. Obviously that hasn't happened with this new company yet, but I love the stuff they're doing, the NIL stuff. So I say that because there's twofold that could be happening here. One, he might have this this breakdown analytic that is just elite. I don't know how they do it. I don't know their structure, whether they have like a pyramid of evaluators. I don't know what it is, but I know he's a very analytical and statistic driven guy. And so it's either that this kid really is the number one player in the country and he's got a great analytic model, or Shannon Terry knows how to make money.
Yeah.
And he said, you know what? I'm going to make this Ohio State quarterback the number one player in the country because Ohio State fans are the biggest fans in the United States of America, and I'm trying to make cashish. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to put Devin Brown as the number one player to appease them Buckeyes and get them to sign up for my on3.com.
and it's smart because I think kind of as a projection thing moving forward. So I'm at the composite right now, and I'm looking at the quarterbacks that are signed. On the composite, it has Devin Brown as the sixth best quarterback in the country. Now the quarterbacks in front of him, it's the Cade Klubnik kid. He's committed to Clemson. So it's like, okay, like we've seen what Clemson does to their quarterbacks. We've seen obviously Trevor regressed, and also DJ Uiagalelei regressed. The Connor Wegman kid going to A&M. We haven't really seen A&M do a fantastic job developing quarterbacks. Ty Simpson at Alabama. Drew Aller. We haven't seen Penn State do a great job developing quarterbacks. And then Walker Howard at LSU. We haven't seen LSU do a great job developing quarterbacks, obviously. Recently. So I think that's interesting. It's like it could be them saying, you know what, we trust Ryan Day as a developer. And then 3 years from now, when people look back on this class and our rankings, we're going to be the ones that had Devin Brown ranked number one in the country. And that kind of goes back to your point about coaches. I think that's brilliant because, you know, recruiting services are, there's two ways to do it. Who's the best now? And then you can also do it as a projection. When you do it as a projection, I think who you're committed to really, really matters. And I think that betting that Devin Brown gets developed better than all these other quarterbacks, I think is absolutely the right thing, considering the fact that the other schools don't have the greatest track record with developing quarterbacks.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I mean, I do think that this On Three NIL valuation formula is really cool to look at.
Absolutely.
And it's really fascinating. Just looking at social media interaction, social media reach, you know, popularity, you know, everything that goes into it. I think it's really cool. I'd be interested to see where they go with it. But I did want to mention one thing, Chris, before we get out of here. I don't think there's anyone that is more dislikable in this country than Brittany Mahomes and Jackson Mahomes. I'm like, did you see the video of her spraying champagne out of her luxury box all over the crowd?
Yeah, in the fucking cold.
I mean, in the freezing. I'm telling you right now, if that happened to me, I would be so angry. And I wanted to bring it up. I don't think there's anything I want more in life than a TMZ breaking report that Brittany Matthews and Jackson Mahomes had an affair. I just want it to happen so bad so that Patrick Mahomes can get away from both of them. The country can get what we deserve and get them the fuck off of our screens on social media and everywhere else. They are the most annoying people I've ever seen. And I think they need to go procreate together. And Pat Mahomes needs to just like count his blessings that he doesn't have to deal with those two anymore. I mean, what is your take on these two?
For such a likable guy, the two people that are closest to him are like, the most.
It's amazing. I guess they say opposites attract, but you watch Patrick Mahomes in every way, shape, or form, on the field, on the sideline, in interviews, like on commercials, like awesome, like the most likable guy ever. There's not a more punchable face in the world right now than Jackson Mahomes.
Yeah, the way he was dancing on Taylor's little memorial too at the Washington football game a while back. I mean, he tried to get a small bar canceled because they wouldn't let him and like his 25 friends in this little speakeasy. I don't think they'll be having an affair. I don't like kill for that. I'm pretty sure he's gay, Zach, but I don't know for sure.
Well, he sure acts gay. I don't know what that means. He's probably not supposed to say that, but I don't give a fuck. He acts gay, but I'm gonna be honest. Brittany kind of looks like a man, so that might work out for him. I don't know. he might have finally found his first woman. I don't know what it is, but man, they got to go. And if you're a Chiefs fan this weekend, I don't know what to tell you. I'm a Browns fan through and through. I've hated the Bengals my whole life. Granted, I love Joe Burrow and I know him personally, so it gives me one reason. But I cannot root for the Chiefs just so that we can stop seeing Jackson Mahomes and Brittany Matthews on social media all over the place. I want them to lose. And it's sad, but that's the influence or effect that people can have, right?
Joe Burrow could be an American hero. Joe Burrow can be an American hero if he wants.
I mean, build him a statue. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Joe Burrow takes this Bengals team and beats Patrick Mahomes so that we can stop seeing Brittany Matthews and Jackson Mahomes, build him a statue. I'll help fund it. Shit, I'll chisel it if you want me to. Just tell me where to put it. Put the statue up. We need it to happen. So go Bengals.
Go Bengals. I'm with that. I'm 100% with that, Zach. I'm glad that you floated that out there. That video pissed me off, dude. She just like spraying the champagne and there's like kids below. It's freezing cold. Like what is wrong with her?
Do you think like turn around in your luxury box and spray it in there?
Yeah. Spray like, Jackson.
Spray Jackson, right?
Yeah, give
spray
Jackson a facial. Damn.
Like you're spraying random people. Who are you? Narcissistic piece of shit.
Just, have some self-awareness. Nobody fucks with her. Nobody.
Oh yeah, nobody likes you. Her. Stop doing stuff for attention. Nobody wants to look at you, but you do stupid
Chiefs,
shit.
Chiefs fans don't like you.
No, nobody likes her. Well, Patrick must.
Ah, damn.
Or what she does. I don't know if he likes her. He just likes what she does. Oh, anyways, I'm gonna
master sprayer, master sprayer. But go ahead, dog. Get us out of here, man. Get us out of here, Menace out.
I will catch you tomorrow on the morning show. Got big plans coming. NFL big money board getting announced today, and a bunch of other stuff. So look for YouTube content to start popping here this week. We appreciate y'all. Menace out.